Okay, Randa, put it up on the wall. We'll all stand and honor the Holy Scriptures, is what we stand. It's called The Unholy Seed. Cincinnati's Redeemer has died. 1 John 3:10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You may be seated. This verse points out that there are two different children of two different gods. That's what it says. Well, first in the news. It's been so long since I spoke to you all. It seems like so much has happened. I'll just tell you a little bit that's happened recently. The most recent horrible thing, the Osteen family, that's Joel and his wife, have done is their recent appearance at an event celebrating a major LGBTQ plus gay pride event. A news site headline, Joel Osteen attends Lady Gaga LGBTQ plus pride event. So he goes to the Lady Gaga Pride event show. Gaga began by asking the crowd, quote, "Are you ready to F party tonight?" I left out the rest of the word. In the crowd were Joel and Victoria Osteen, who were indeed ready to party. Can you imagine starting off that way? Pracing about scandalously dressed Lady Gaga, who it happens to be an Ashkenazi Jew, sang about homosexuality in her song, Born This Way. I'll quote the song. A different lover is not a sin. Believe, capital H-I-M. The tune claims, again quoting, no matter gay, straight, or bi, lesbian, transgendered life, I'm on the right track, baby. I was born to survive. And later on, I'm beautiful in my way because God makes no mistakes. End quote. Lady Gaga used bad language all through the performance. Using bad language is common nowadays, especially among the young people. They hurl F-blank bombs so much that has lost any effect on the hearer, except for disgust to a person who believes what the Bible says. Another very, 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 very disgusting person, Megan Rapinoe, the United States women's soccer star, ended her speech in Los Angeles after a parade in New York City, in which she said on live, it's a Talmudic vision, quote, New York City, you're the mother F blank best. There were little children both there and watching on Talmud vision. Rapinoe, you remember, is an advocate for the LGBTQT plus, as she is a lesbian and is very outspoken. There is even a movement for her to run for president of the United States. In the locker room after their final victory over the Netherlands, many of the team members made sexual gestures, spoke inappropriately using many F-blank words, and a few made political remarks. Rapinoe, while holding the trophy, said, I deserve this, unquote. After a parade up Broadway, Rapinoe said, quote, we have to love more and hate less, unquote. Then why does she hate President Trump and his policies? Then the Goldie and one of the defenders on the World Championship team announced that they are engaged and plan to get married in December in Miami, Florida, after a 10-year silent dating period. The two ladies made the decision to keep their relationship a secret from the public for the sake of the team and the franchise. Quote, we wanted to be professional and make sure that we showed up every day and did our job, unquote. The two, Ali Krieger and Ashley Harris, wanted to come out and say, this is who we are. Well, why did they make the decision to keep their lesbian relationship a secret from the public? The United States women's soccer team is made up of many perverted individuals. One player, Jacqueline Hinkle, withdrew or was cut from the U.S. soccer team just 2 weeks after the organization announced that members of both the men's and the women's team would be donning rainbow-colored jerseys in honor of LGBTQ plus Pride Month, which was last June. While it's not immediately clear if her departure is directly related to the National Women's Soccer League's decision to celebrate gay pride, Hinkle had not shied away from taking bold stances on the issue in the past. Hinkle said that the Bible is not a fictional book. Either believe it or you don't. The coach of the team, Jill Ellis, who's a woman, is pro-LGBTQ+, and is a lesbian who is married to another woman. There's the shirts. The jerseys featured rainbow, see rainbow-colored numbers. And in place of the player's name, they had the word Pride. What if you're on the team? What if you had to wear this uniform? What would you do? Ashley Harris is here, and this is the teammate. She called her homophobic after she declined a call-up over the Pride jersey. Ashley Harris, I just talked about her, who will marry a fellow teammate, another woman. Slammed fellow soccer player Jenny Hinkle on Twitter in response to an interview in which Hinkle claimed to step down from the team on the team's decision to wear Pride jerseys. Quote, Hinkle, our team is about inclusion. The Pride is your intolerance, which is a Hindu influence. And you are homophobic. You don't belong in a sport that aims to unite and bring people together. You can't play soccer anymore. You would never fit into our pack and what this team stands for, unquote. It makes one wonder, what does the U.S. women's soccer team stand for? It seems to me that is part of the social state under an LGBTQ plus agenda that is aimed at destroying the Christian values of the nation. The Bible clearly states its disapproval of all kinds of sexual deviancies that Pride supports. And what did Procter & Gamble, the multi-billion dollar company headquartered in Cincinnati, do? Now they're Freemasonic, you know, they're a big Masonic company. They gave $500,000, $500,000, to the United States women's soccer team and voiced their support by paying for a full-page ad in the New York Times, that's a lot of money, for equal pay with the men. May God have mercy on us. Now I thought this was good. And Debbie, we can't put these in the, they're all these pictures are no good. The woman's talking to a little girl and says, got a bar of soap in her mouth. Play soccer like Rapinoe, but don't talk like her. And this band's holding the other girl's ears. I thought that was good. Now here is Ashley and Allie. They announced their engagement was September. They kept that a secret. And they announced they planned to marry this December. Which one do you think is the so-called male? Anybody have a clue? And the shades of Sodom and Gomorrah? Speaking of the president, he tweeted a comment about the progressive Democratic congresswomen who were, quote, loudly and viciously telling the people of the United States, unquote, how the government should be run, considering they, quote, originally came from countries whose governments are a complete and total catastrophe, unquote. Quote, why don't they go back and help fix the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came? Then come back and show us how it's done, unquote. Trump added, obviously referencing a group of four progressive freshman congresswomen referred to as the Squad. Three of the four women were born and raised in the United States by Representative Ilhan Omar, Democrat, Minnesota, is a U.S. citizen who moved from Somalia when she was a young child. How these people get elected? Gee whiz. His tweets immediately sparked outrage. The New York Times, Amstead Herndon, said it was important to note, to quote note, the historic context of the go back to insult is racial. Adding to people, quote, tell black people to go back to Africa whose families have lived here for generations, unquote. National security lawyer Bradley Moss, meanwhile, stated that Trump, quote, came out and reminded us all this morning that he is a vile racist at his core, unquote, blasting the, quote, conservatives who sold their souls for judges and got him elected, unquote. Now we got another cartoon. There's the four congressmen. There's, look what they say. America stinks. The Holocaust gives me a calming feeling. That's what she says. The next one says, America stinks. Jewish money controls Congress. Well, that is correct. The next one says, America stinks. U.S. has concentration camps. And the next one says, America stinks. We don't need black faces that don't want to be a black voice. And Trump says, if you hate America, then leave. Then the next one says, all these four men say, that's un-American, you racist. It is hilarious. Well, the House of Representatives then met to make a statement on President Trump's remark on the House Democrats. It was Tuesday afternoon. I turned the television on and was flipping through the channels when I heard something on the U.S. House C-SPAN channel. They televised everything going on in the House of Representatives. The representative, who only had a few minutes to talk, said that he did not disagree with the president on his remarks. And that's when I turned on. This guy was giving a speech. So I left it on. He strongly said that he didn't say anyone's race or anyone's name, that they are, quote, anti-American, unquote. But everyone knew who he was talking about. Then Nancy Pelosi, our most famous House of Representatives, she got up to speak. It was very interesting. She said that she attended a Spanish Catholic Mass on Sunday. That's last Sunday. And that the preacher gave his sermon on the Good Samaritan. She implied that all Catholics give the same sermon. Is that true? Every sermon. They all give the same sermon. She referred to it as the, quote, gospel of the Good Samaritan, unquote, in which the preacher said that we are to do, quote, good works to our neighbor, unquote. Of course, the priest said that our neighbor are strangers and foreigners. She said that President Trump should have heard that sermon, for on that day he was arresting and splitting up the homes of many illegals. She talked about how, quote, God gave us this nation, unquote, but implied that was given to everyone. I got a question. Does Nancy love Trump as herself? Quote, America is a beautiful nation that God has given us, unquote, Pelosi said in her short speech. Did she really believe that God gave the land of the United States to the Costa Ricans, the Africans, the Asians? Immediately after her talk, Representative Doug Collins called the House to delete her remarks. Pelosi had said the comments that the president had made in his tweets was disgraceful, disgusting, and racist. The House decided the word racist should not be allowed in the speech. They voted. The nays won. Then Representative Collins asked for an electronic vote. The nays won again. It was voted along party lines. The country is split almost 50-50. Lindsey Graham got on television and backed President Trump's tweets. He said the four women, the squad, were anti-American and communist. Lindsey didn't say, but I will, that communism is a Jewish idea. So the country is arguing back and forth on this issue. And then there was the headline in the Cincinnati Inquirer newspaper on July 11th, 2019, which said, front page headline, Cincinnati's Redeemer has died. Cincinnati's Redeemer? Does Cincinnati have one? Was the Redeemer a he, she, or an it? I quickly scanned the article and found that they were referring to Marion Spencer, who had died on July the 8th. She lived from 1920 till 2019. 99 years. I remember her. She was born in Gallipolis, Ohio, home of the Bob Evans Farm, where we went that one time on our vacation, ate there, which later became a restaurant chain. And she was descended from a former slave named Henry Walker Alexander. Her parents were Harry Donald Alexander and Rosanna Carter Alexander. But she grew up in her grandfather's home, a freed slave, with her brothers and twin sister and her parents. There was very little information about her family tree, and I looked for several hours, except for the fact that she was a mongrel. She was a mixture of Scottish, Indian, and Negro seed. I couldn't find out what ethnic group the Scottish man was, whether he was an Ashkenazi Jew or not, or about what tribe of Indian, but that, quote, if she had one drop of black blood in her, then she would claim to be black, unquote. So she called herself black. She was named Cincinnati's Redeemer by United States federal judge Nathaniel Jones in the 1970s. I guess she is named the Redeemer of Cincinnati because she led the battle to desegregate Coney Island swimming pools in the 1950s. Became the first woman of color elected to Cincinnati City Council in 1983. Leader of the local NAACP branch. Head of the NAACP's legislative committee. Leader in desegregating Cincinnati schools. She supported busing and school integration. That affected me. Served on the UC Board of Trustees from 1975 to 1980. Shows you where the colleges were. As NAACP president in the early 1980s, she teamed with infamous civil rights preacher the Reverend Fred Shedding's work to clean up a polluted site in Lower Price Hill, which is located in Cincinnati. Served as an executive in Cincinnati's Planned Parenthood. Served as a Democratic delegate to the Democratic National Convention supporting Jesse Jackson for president. So she was pro-choice, an integrationist, a communist, and was leader of organizations that are pro-civil rights. What do you think would have happened if Jesse Jackson would have been president as she supported? She was a leader in desegregating the pools and schools to Cincinnati. All the things she did and supported are against our God's laws. Because of all her activities, she was awarded some of the following awards. In March 2016, the city of Cincinnati named a portion of downtown's Walnut Street in her honor. On Wednesday of this past week, one day after her death, the city flags were flown at half staff in her honor. University of Cincinnati, where she went to college, named its newest residence building after her. Won the Cincinnati Enquirer's Woman of the Year Award in 1972. Here's an interesting one. Won an award from Cincinnati's Council of Christians and Jews. And there's many, many more. Marion Spencer describes herself as a fighter. Quote, "All people should be equal," unquote, she said. Quote, "There should be equality above everything. Given equal opportunity, we all arrive at the same place," unquote. The Spencers were represented by Cincinnati attorney Alphonse Gerhardstein. Remember him? In several lawsuits that they had filed. Birds of a feather flock together. Remember, Marion Spencer was not a pure black American. She was a mongrel. She was a mixture of black, Indian, and Scottish seed. But she identified herself as being an African American, although it was not totally true. She was also part Indian and European as well as African. But she said, quote, "If one drop of black blood is so precious, I was going to claim it," unquote. One day in 1952, her two sons were watching the local Uncle Al show. You remember that Uncle Al show? On television, and saw a commercial for the park. Everyone comes to Coney Island. Quote, "When my kids said they wanted to go, I waited until they weren't around, and I called," unquote, Spencer said. Quote, "I talked to the girl who answered. I said, 'We're Negroes. Can we get in?' The girl replied, 'I'm sorry, but you can't.' Well, she wasn't a Negro. She was a mixed seed of black, white, and red, but she said, and her children were, but she and her children were still forbidden to go, as this was the 1950s. Coney Island Pool was for whites only." That's very foreign in 70 years, isn't it? Cincinnati's mayor, John Cranley, said about Spencer, quote, "Small in stature, but a giant in impact. Marion Spencer led by example to build a more integrated city. And we're all trying to live up to her example," unquote. He didn't say we're not following the God of Israel, but we are following his enemy. James A. Fields, the man who was convicted of driving his car into a woman and killing her at the Charlottesville rally, was Jewish. His Jewish grandfather killed his grandmother and then killed himself. The other side of his family has been redacted. Was his mother Jewish? Thus he claimed that at the incident that caused him mental, that this incident caused him mental anguish. At least that was part of his defense. He could be nothing more than a Jewish terrorist pretending to be a white nationalist. So, this past week, we've had Marion Spencer's death, 99 years old. Congress telling the President of the United States to stop telling strangers who are anti-American in Congress to go home. Joe Osteen and his wife attending a Lady Gaga LGBTQ+ rally. Megan Rapinoe and other team members cussing and acting arrogant on their recent World Cup victory. And James Field, who is Jewish, was convicted. Do you see a common thread in all these people? They're all mongrels. Or they're people who are following what the heathen believe. Have you ever wondered about why the Jews were deported out of most cities, states, and nations in Europe? Were they just unfairly discriminated against because they were different? If you do, you have been propagandized. They were charged with ritual murder, the murder of Anglo-Saxon children, sorcery, witchcraft, democracy, and maybe it was they were without any righteousness. Maybe it could be said that they lacked the love of the brethren. Who is a child of the devil? The Dake Bible says this about who is a child of the devil. They are individuals who are. And they elicit these 21 reasons in the margin of the Bible. 1, walking in darkness, no light. 2, saying one has no sin. 3, failing to please God and keep his commandments. 4, failing to walk as Christ. 5, hating anyone. 6, failing to overcome Satan. 7, loving the world and the things in it. 8, leaving Christian fellowship. 9, ignoring truth. 10, denying God and Jesus. 11, doing unrighteousness. 12, making no effort to purify self. 13, committing sin. 14, murdering. 15, shedding bowels of compassion. 16, lacking faith. 17, being destitute of the indwelling Holy Spirit. 18, being of the world and having fellowship with it. 19, having no personal acquaintance with God or knowledge of eternal life. 20, making no confession of Jesus. And 21, being overcome by the world. Do you think that these 21 reasons are good or bad? Was one of the trees in the garden a good and evil tree? Do you think that that implies a good and evil seed line? 1 John 3:12. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. I quoted Dake's commentary again on 1 John 3:12. He says, Cain was of Satan. Isaiah 57:4. Against whom do you sport yourself? Against whom make you a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood? If there's a seed of falsehood, there must be a seed of truth. Matthew 15:13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. What plants were not planted by the heavenly Father? Could it be the mongrels? John 8:42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Jesus told his enemies that if God were your father, which implies that God was not their father. John 8:44. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Then Jesus tells them who their father was, the devil. John 8:38. I speak that which I have seen with my father, that you do that which you have seen with your father. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Here Jesus speaks of two different fathers. Do you notice any difference in the word in the King James Bible? My father's capitalized. Your father is lowercase. Here Jesus speaks of two different fathers, my father and your father. One capital F, the other lowercase F. Now one's not a father unless he has children. Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. So you got good seed, you got tares. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then has it tares? And he said to them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said to him, Wilt thou then that we go up and gather them up? And he says, No. Lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather you together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. One sowed good seed, which was the wheat, while his enemy sowed the bad seed, which was the tares. The farmers were instructed to let them both grow until the harvest. And then it would be apparent who is a tare and who is the wheat. Question, are we living in this time where we can tell? Say the answer is yes. It's very easy to tell. These are just a few of the many scriptures that tell there are two different seeds in the world who have two different fathers. One is your father who is the devil. The other is our father who is the God of the Bible. One is a murderer and a liar. The other are children of righteousness. One is compared to the tares whose destiny is the fire. The others are compared to the wheat, whose destiny is the barn. One is called by implication the wicked seed, the other the good seed. One does not have the capacity to hear the word of God. The other can hear the word of God. One will work the lust of their father, the other will do the work of their father. One is called the children of disobedience, the children of wrath, the children of transgression, the seed of falsehood. The other is called just the opposite, the seed of truth. The two seed lines are just the opposite. Notice that it says they have different fathers. it doesn't say they have different fathers and different mothers. If they have just different fathers, is it possible they have different fathers, but the same mother? How could this be? Could it be that Eve had both of these two different children in her womb? One child sired by the devil and the other who was a twin, fathered by Adam, who was created by God. It would have been similar to what happened to Rebekah. When she was pregnant with Esau and Jacob, it was said that she had two different nations in her womb. Her twins were fathered by the same person, unlike Eve, but their destiny was the same because Esau interracially married into the line of Cain, Eve's firstborn son. Have you ever wondered why the Jews traced their lineage through their mother and not their father? A Jew is a person who says their mother is Jewish, not their father. If their mother is Jewish, it doesn't matter who their father is. All their children are Jewish. That is history, not a silly tradition. For Cain had a different father than Seth, but they both had the same mother, Eve. How would you distinguish them? You could say that Cain's father was the devil, or you could say that he was a descendant of Eve. Which sounds better? Descendants of Cain say their mother was Eve. Well, God Almighty says their father was the devil. They're both true. The descendants of Esau, the Edomites, the Idumeans, the Canaanites, the Kenites, all the sons of Cain whose father was the devil and whose mother was Eve. Thus, we have two different seed lines with two different fathers. One, the heavenly father, and the other, the leader of the fallen angels, Lucifer. Who was the mother? The scripture doesn't say they had a different father and mother. It says they had a different father. It implies that they had the same mother. That mother was Eve. So I have my little chart. God created Lucifer, who was an angel, high up angel, Adam and Eve. God was the creator of all three of these entities. Lucifer was the highest creation of the angels. Adam was created as a mature man from the dust of the earth, and his spirit was blown into him. He created his wife from his, Adam's, own body. Now Lucifer seduced Eve. Adam and Eve married each other. The first tare was Cain. The first wheat was Abel. Cain murdered Abel. Then Adam and Eve had Seth. Then on down the line, he had Eber, who was the Hebrews. The Cains are called Kenites. Then from Eber came Noah. And you had Canaan and Shem. And you had two other sons. But the daughters of Canaan married into the Kenites. They married. They're part of the wicked seed line. Abraham, Isaac, Esau married into the daughters of Canaan, Hittites, who were Kenites. Jacob and Israelites, pure Israelites. And there were Israelites who also married into this wicked seed line. They are mixed breed or unholy seed. They're the pure seed or holy seed. The opponents of Christ must have been descendants of Cain as well as of Abraham. And this blows the Judeo-Christian's mind. They were Esau and other Israelites who had interracially married into the Canaanite seed line. Levi was another Israelite tribe that had interracially married so many times that it had almost completely polluted the priesthood. And that as the rate of miscegenation is starting to explode all over the globe, almost all people will eventually be just like the Jew is, a mongrel people. They will be like Marion Spencer was, a mixture of Scottish, Indian, and black, or some other mixture. Now I'm going to quote. I'm making a quote. In the early chapter of Genesis, it is described that Cain moved to a region away from the sons of Adam and built cities and had children who were known as Cainites. So Cain moved away, built cities. Of course, there's only two of them. They built a big city. Built a city, and they were known as Cainites. They are described in Genesis chapter 4 and mentioned again in Genesis chapter 15. In that later chapter, we see 10 tribes living in the land of Canaan. So Genesis 15, 19. They are called the Cainites. Oh. Cainites are what? Sons of Cain? Gizizites? Kotabites? Perizzites? Hittites? Amorites? Canaanites? Girgashites? And Jebusites. Of these, the Gizizites, Kedamites and the Perizzites have no prior mention in the scriptures. How about that answers in Genesis? They are not in the genealogies of Noah, and it is unknown where they could have come from. Some of the others are significant branches of the Canaanites, but the Canaanites and the Perizzites, who were not mentioned in Genesis chapter 10, are distinguished in chapter 13. So the Perizzites certainly seem to be of some unknown race or racial admixture. Later, as these accursed people are enumerated in Joshua, some of the names disappear and others appear. But the people are still the same. And in the biblical narrative, the Kenites and the Rephaim are still present in the land at those much later times, being mentioned often and in other contexts. Now I'm still quoting. The Kenites are descendants of Cain, and the Rephaim are a portion of the giants. These Kenites and Rephaim had been intermingling with the seed of Canaan for as many as 10 centuries before the Israelites' conquest of Palestine. 10 centuries is 1/6 of the time from Adam to now. That's 1,000 years. As long as 500 years before the time of Abraham, when the land was divided in the days of Peleg. Examples of the Rephaim were Og of Bashan and Goliath and his brothers. So this is not a singular allusion, but must rather be accepted as a biblically historical fact. Ostensibly, in early times, they spread out into other places as well. Since these same Rephaim giants are ubiquitous in the language legends of Mesopotamia, and they describe with origins very similar to the Nephilim of Genesis chapter 6, from whom the Rephaim had descended. So when Esau married into the race of the Canaanites, he was marrying the daughters of bastards from the line of Cain and the Rephaim, and this is how Christ had quite confidently told his opponents that their father was a murderer from the beginning, a label which only can be applied to Cain. Those last three paragraphs were from the book of Malachi, written by Bill Fink, pages 40 and 41. Yahweh does not accept bastards as his children, as he did not create bastards, as they do not follow his law of kind after kind. They are in some cases a mixture of fallen angels with women, and in others one race with another race. Then their offspring, no matter who they marry, is still a mixed breed. All their offspring is cursed. It can never be created with the pure seed again. This is the very big error of answers in Genesis. They teach the direct opposite. They teach that all races come from the same man and the same woman. They say they believe that Adam and Eve were probably brown in their skin color. So they believe that everyone on the earth are really mongrels, including Jesus the Christ. What do answers in Genesis say about Malachi 2:11? Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah had profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. Judah only had two wives in the scriptures. One was Tamar, but she wasn't the daughter of a strange god. Judah had sexual relations with her, Tamar, just one time, and had two Israelite twin sons, Perez and Zerah. The other was a Canaanite woman who was the daughter of a strange god. Judah had three sons with her. So Judah committed the same sin as Esau. Two of the three mixed-bred sons died before they had any children, but the third, Shelah, married another Canaanite woman and had mixed multitude of children. The tribe of Judah was saved from destruction by Tamar, who almost lost her life in saving Judah. Judah repented. Esau didn't. My conclusion. The flood of Noah, if it was, as the Answers in Genesis organization says, universal. But how many two-legged beings remained? Were there eight, four males and four females? And from these, all the people of the earth today come from one of the three sons of Noah. It's either Japheth, Ham, or Shem. But this presents a major problem. There are different races on the earth, and all eight were from the same family. That is, they were all the same race. Some try to get around this dilemma by saying that the three sons all married a person from another race. But this would make everyone in the world a mongrel. But this is not correct, for there are some pure races still alive in the world today. And there are more than three races. So this argument's wrong. Others put other races on the ark, making the number of occupants more than eight. Some even put the giants on the ark. But this would make the ark another United Nations. What was the reason for the flood in the first place? The bottom line is there were two separate, different, and opposing seed lines for 6,000 years. They were started from two different fathers, the devil and Adam. One was not from God, as they broke his law of kind after kind. The other was of God, for they were kind after kind. They both have been on the earth and have had different gods, a different way of doing things, and a different destiny. The evil seed line is trying to act as if they are equal to all other peoples on the earth. Oh. They say there is no difference except for skin color. They say that democracy is one of the best forms of government. But they're wrong. They are making their final attempt of controlling God's kingdom on the earth. They proclaim love, love, and more love, and less hate. Is it okay to hate some things, somebody like the devil, like the devil's children? The Lord's Prayer was given to the wheat to pray. Our, that's the wheat's father. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us, that's referring to the wheat, this day our, that's the wheat's daily bread. And forgive us the wheat, our, the wheat's trespasses. And we, the wheat, forgive those who trespassed against us, the wheat. And lead us, the wheat, not into temptation, but deliver us, the wheat, from evil, which is really the evil one, the father of the tares. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, to be continued.